You are listening to episode 304 of the Mindfulness-Based Weight Loss Podcast with me, Lucia Hawley. Welcome to the Mindfulness-Based Weight Loss Podcast, the show for women like you who have tried restrictive diet after diet and are ready for simple, thoughtful solutions to help you sustainably lose weight for the last time from a place of abundance and peace. If you're looking to end the yo-yo of comfort eating and rigid weight loss protocols and instead step into living your life mindfully on your terms while losing weight in the process, you're in the right place. Hello, hello. Welcome to the show. Here in Minneapolis, it is so snowy. I love it. It's super duper snowy and been having some fun shoveling. And I've been at the house by myself for the last couple of days because my husband is traveling. And he was like, don't shovel too much, because he knew the storm was coming. And I was like, do you know me? Do you think I'm some sort of hero? Maybe I'll just take it as a compliment. But like, you guys, I'm not shoveling too much. I shoveled a path so that I don't fall down the steps. The steps by the front door. And by steps, I mean the one step that gets you up to the front door. I shoveled for 7 minutes yesterday and I was like, yep, good enough. But the snow is so pretty. We've had a very non-snowy winter here, which everyone has been lamenting about. So, man, the city is really good at snow removal. And I have a neighbor out right now. I'm watching him. He is snow blowing up a storm clearing his driveway. Okay, so on today's episode, we are talking about graduating from emotional eating. When do you graduate from your emotional eating status? Do you identify as an emotional eater? What does emotional eating mean to you? Where do you see it crop up in your life? If you do a quick Google search, really kind of the first thing that pops up is from the Mayo Clinic, and it talks about how emotional eating is really a way that tons of us, it's a super duper common, okay? You're not alone. It ain't just you, boo-boo. But emotional eating is a way that we, in the short term, try to distance ourselves or numb out from emotions that are feeling more negative. So things like feeling bored, feeling sad, feeling alone, feeling anger and keyed up, just feeling generally stressed out in one way or another. And emotional eating, of course, can happen with bigger life events, some big transitions, maybe longer duration transitions, more acute transitions, or stressors. And or it can just happen because of our chronic daily stressors. So work stress, just getting through life stress, financial stress, emotional, interpersonal stressors. Oh, in general, we eat emotionally when we are stressed out. And probably, and listen, if you've been a listener to the show for a long time, I used to talk about emotional eating more. I kind of took a break because I was like, I just feel like we're staring at our belly buttons here. But it's an important subject to be talking about. But for anyone who's newer to the show, or I guess I'm the one talking on this podcast, so how I view things, how I think the world makes sense, and it's just my viewpoint, so take it or leave it, yeah? But to me, emotional eating and my own emotional eating was such a boon that because my emotional eating started when I was younger, it was almost, looking back, to me, it was such a privilege, right? I lived in a home where there was enough food that I could emotionally eat, and that's what I did. And it was the best coping mechanism I had for my stressors in those moments. And the only thing that happened with emotional eating is that it became my go-to kind of default coping mechanism, because that's the best I could do when I was younger. And I really think that these days we make things so personal. These days, I don't really think about, I don't feel like I'm much of an emotional eater these days at all. I notice, because I do have some chronic pain and I don't really identify with it a ton. You don't hear me yap about it a ton on here, but I do notice that if I'm feeling more pain one day or another, I can desire sugar. But that's because historically in the past, having something that's higher sugar, it's kind of helped. So can I really blame myself all that much? No. Do I have to make a bunch of rules around that? No, not really. It's taking things way too personally. But anyway, emotional eating to me and the philosophy of this show, and I think how we approach things in this community, is that it was a strength of yours. Even if it's caused you so much thinking these days, or it's something that you don't want to be making personal anymore, guess what? You made it personal because at one point, even if it was the very first time or the quickest second or moment of relief, at one point, it helped you. So I really think instead of negating that, if we can just honor, and if you want to think back to the moment where it helped you, when by helped I mean like it could literally just have gotten you through an evening or through a big emotion, fantastic. It did its job. And not that you have to go through that way of thinking about emotional eating in order to graduate from it. Because here's the thing. So many of us want a 3-step plan, 5-step plan. We want to learn from an expert. We want someone else to tell us how to think critically about ourselves and our lives. And that's A, abdicating a lot of responsibility. And B, it's not really giving you any opportunity to have your own personal insights. Like learning from someone else's insight in their own life, that's great. That can be inspiring. But I always encourage you to take that inspiration and run with it and let it marinate. You know, on these episodes, I offer homework on many episodes, not all of them, but things that's really what the podcast is. It's like, hey, here's something that we could be thinking about this week if you'd like to, like take it or leave it. And that's my hope for you, is that it's never about someone telling you what to do. Now, in terms of the daily healthy habits, weekly healthy habits, that stuff is, it's also impersonal. It's not that walking a certain amount of steps is going to make or break your health, but in general, if you look at science, it's going to say, okay, this amount of steps, this range of steps, in general, supports the X amount of movement minutes that you're getting per day, per week, and we know from research that that helps people have healthy lives, right? It's impersonal, it's general. So while the healthy habits of getting enough sleep, getting in general movement, generally strength training in some capacity or another, generally getting balanced meals, and on and on and on, those are not going to vary too much person to person. Yeah, those could be more prescriptive, but I do hope that you hear in this episode and plenty of other episodes and episodes to come that my hope for you is that you apply your own critical thinking to your own life and lived experiences, and that you also realize if you don't want to be thinking about your past anymore, or you don't want to be fretting about your future anymore, you don't have to. Like, thinking about your past a lot is a habit. And if you have that as a really strong habit, damn, maybe you don't need to practice that habit as much anymore. I don't know. Maybe that needs to be its own episode. But emotional eating, if you want to, the reason I titled the episode like graduating from emotional eating is that you just decide, right? It's your choice. There's no pass or fail here. It's just life. If you've had it as a habit, bigger, smaller, with acute stressors or small stressors, maybe you're just now recognizing it and you're like, oh, that's kind of clicking. Yeah, I did do that. Okay. That's literally, to me, that's pretty much all the insights we really need before we can say, and I graduate from it. That's it. It might mean that when you're having stressors in the future, you might, like the graduation could be just noticing, oh, yeah, I'm really wanting to reach for some food right now, but I'm not actually all that hungry. Oh, I'm actually quite satisfied because, yeah, I've been practicing my balanced meals. Interesting. The graduation doesn't mean if you do or don't do the habit. Yeah, you might reach for some food here or there. You might have a brand new type of stressor that comes up in the future, but the wisdom and the nature of like our own mental well-being is that we start to trust that we'll know what to do in those moments. That takes us out of that all or nothing pass fail mentality of like, oh, but if I claim that I'm graduating from emotional eating and then this stressful thing at work happens, and then I do overeat that evening that I'm creating in my mind and stressing out about, even though it hasn't happened, then I'm a fraud. Then I'm an imposter. And that is taking your human ability to think way too freaking seriously. Instead, I just want to flip the script where it's like, you can always trust that you'll know what to do in the moment and don't worry about it until the moment comes. And that's the nuance that I want to speak to today. Just like I said a couple minutes ago, that thinking is different than like prioritizing time to get your walks in, to have good quality sleep, to stock your fridge with good food. Like, again, I hope that makes sense. There's differences between like, no, you might tangibly have to decide like, okay, I'm going to go grocery shopping on Sundays and Thursdays, or like, oh, on Sundays, I'm going to jot down like generally what are we eating in the house this week? You know, like literally you might need to practice some new habits instead of saying, oh, I'll always figure it out. It'll just happen. And like putting that onto your future self, but also remembering, yeah, these habits, these things that I'm doing, it's just to help me feel good and groovy. So there's no perfectionism needed. And your life circumstances might change. They probably will, if anything, right? What's the one constant? Change. Like, I'll tell you, for the last couple years, my husband and I, we plan our meals. We plan our dinners for the week. At least like Monday through Friday. And then weekends, you know, usually there's like a leftovers day in there. And it's like, we just generally make sure it's like, okay, are we generally eating? Like, do we have enough vegetables, starches, and proteins in the house for us to have these nice little meals? And we both love cooking. We love our little yummy leftovers for lunches. And we both do our own thing for breakfast. So it's very routine. And we've probably been doing this for the last 3 or so years. And it's no big deal if it doesn't happen, but it feels so good to know what meals we're literally going to look forward to throughout the week that we naturally do it. And naturally, for the last 3 years, we've generally done it on Sundays. And generally, we do a Sunday shop, and then generally, we're good to go. No big deal. And since we've moved here, we've also been doing that. I took a break from planning our meals in my first trimester because, legit, gross. Didn't want to talk about food, but Tim took it over and it was fantastic. Again, no big deal. So that's one instance of like that thing changing. And then I was like, okay, I like food again in my second trimester. It's like, I generally love to plan the meals. So I was happy to get back into that too. But the last month or so, what we've noticed, because we moved from Oregon to Minnesota last summer, what I've noticed is that two of our favorite stores, one, their new weekly deals, they start on Wednesdays every week, okay? So come Wednesday, they have new, basically, fruits and vegetables on sale. And if you didn't know, I am frugal, and I freaking love being frugal. So if I can get a deal, I'm gonna get a deal. And I also like being efficient. Welcome to my brain. So on Wednesdays, one of our stores, our local Aldi, does their new deals of the week. And then a couple of weeks ago, Tim and I realized that the other grocery store that we go to that's also quite close to us, Cub Foods, and I don't know if this is every Cub, but our local one, we started to notice because we randomly went in on like a Thursday morning and we saw the meat guy putting all these sales stickers on the meats Thursday mornings between 9 and 10 a.m. And so all of a sudden I was like, wait a second, we don't have to go grocery shopping on Sundays. We both work from home. So let's do our grocery shopping on Thursdays because we'll still have all the fresh produce with the new weekly Aldi ads that came out the day before. And then we'll be like meeting up with Mr. Meat and all of his red sale price meat selections at Cub. Win, 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 win. And so all of that then didn't require, but naturally made me realize, oh, so on Wednesdays now, we should generally get our shopping list together and figure out our meals for the coming week. So we had to be open. I realized it would be nice to be open to flexing this one habit of Sunday grocery shopping, Sunday meal planning, and shift it to Wednesdays so that we're ready to go Thursday morning. It can sound so simple, but I think that kind of a thing can trip a lot of people up if we're thinking too hard and we're worried that we won't be able to deal in the moment with changing circumstances. But I hope you also hear in that example, which sounds so small, but isn't that what life is made of? Is like these small little decisions and habits we do every day and every week. It sounds so small, but it's added so much fun to our life. It's added so much joy to be able to be like, yeah, we get these discounted meats. We get the freshest discounted, because you guys, if you don't have the Aldi near you, I'm sorry. Hopefully you have a Winco, because that was our favorite store. We didn't have Aldi's on the West Coast when we were in Oregon, but we did have Winco. Oh, and I do miss my Wincos. But if we had been holding so tightly to somehow Sunday being this magical day and being the start of the week and all these other stories about why that was so much better, or that we wouldn't be able to figure out how to flex our habit, you know what I mean? Like, sorry, my dog's looking out at the guy snow blowing. We wouldn't really, like, we would make a habit more emotional than it actually needs to be. And we would be negating the fact that literally we came to those decisions because they were helpful 3 years ago. And now we're flexing in a way that they're even more helpful these days. And if we hadn't trusted our wisdom in the moment to recognize, well, hey, we got this. And we can come to an even better decision in these moments. Not because we wrung our hands and added a lot of stress, but because we just realized, oh, we have the wisdom now to flex and make changes. To me, that is how the human brain freaking thrives. And it's that type of energy. The reason I give that example is that it's that type of energy that we can apply to maybe our more specific eating habits, whether you have identified certain emotional eating patterns or not. You just know that, like, for some reason you overconsume food. And emotional eating can also be, honestly, more times than not, it's negative stress, but also it can be associated with things that feel like they, quote unquote, should be happy. Eating around, like, it's gonna boil down to stress more times than not, but it could be with parties or celebrations or work-related, like, things that we might not initially, at first glance, think are stressful. That's okay. It's all good. This is my, like, too long, don't read, of basically saying, once you drop the pressure to be a good eater, whether that's a good emotional eater or a good non-emotional eater, once you drop the pressure of ever emotionally eating again, or to never emotionally eat, or that you are, so, like, once you just drop all these identities, and we create identities because they make us feel safe. Like, really hear that. We create identities because they help us categorize ourselves. Once you drop from the categorizing, oh my gosh, that's when things can become what you want in the moment, because your wisdom is always there. I've used this example before, I'll use it again. Your wisdom and your wellness is like the sun in the sky. And your thinking, especially like stressy thinky thoughts, are like clouds. So the clouds in front of the sun, they're always gonna come and go. But if you believe that the clouds, when they're covering up the sun, are they're passing by, if you believe they're moving too slowly, if you believe they're never gonna move, if you believe because you can't see the sun because the cloud is in front of it, that means the sun is gone, that's you taking your thinking and your thoughts too seriously. And what do we find? We find that when we stop taking our thinking so seriously, the thoughts always pass. That's why, like, you know, people say, like, oh, you're stressed, you're waking up in the middle of the night, you're thinking all these thoughts, you think you gotta figure them out in the middle of the night. No, sleep on it. Let yourself be stressed. You're not gonna come to any good conclusions when you're stressed the F out. Like, you tell me the last time you had a really great insight when you were just completely stressed. No. Somehow, life went on, you did something else, your situation, your even just like your environment changed. You went from lunchtime to dinner time. You took the dog for a walk. You had to bathe the kids. You whatever. And the thoughts eventually pass. Only time the thoughts don't pass is when we cling to them. And then we layer on thought after thought after thought after thought. Okay? So I'm going to end the episode here. But listen, you're a graduate already. Let that inner wisdom shine. It's right there for you. It's shining like the sun. I love to see it. So thank you so much for being here. And I will see you on next week's episode. Bye.
Hey, if you love today's show, I'd love for you to take a minute and give a rating with a review. If you too are ready for more women to make life choices from loving mindfulness, that means we need more women listening to this message so they know it's available to them and they can do it too. And if you're ready yourself, come coach with me, where we'll work together and you'll learn how to take this process to the next level in your wellness goals, life desires, and beyond. Go to luciahawley.com, that's luciahawley.com to connect.